Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
And I want to speak to you out of this passage in Luke chapter 5, verse 15 to 16. And in this passage, what is happening right now is Jesus is going about doing the work of the ministry, right? He's healing the sick, he's raising the dead, he's cleansing lepers, he's doing all sorts of things. And the Bible says this: "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him to be healed of their sicknesses." Listen to this, right? Everyone was coming to Jesus. He was the center of attention. Everyone wanted a piece of him. Everyone wanted their healing. Everyone wanted to hear from him. But it says this, verse 16, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." And all the introverts said, "Amen," right? He took a step away from the crowds, from all of the to-do lists, right? You know, I think it's funny. Some of us think we're busy. Like, you ever talk to that person and they're like, "How are you going?" "Oh, just busy, just busy." And it's all they ever say. I'm like, is there anything else going on other than busy? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And what I love about Jesus is he was the busiest person in all of history, right? He was the savior of the world. He had, you know, healings to go and do. He had the gospel to preach. He had all sorts of things to do. But Jesus, in the midst of his busyness, said, "I'm going to withdraw to lonely places and pray." And I wonder, what was it that made Jesus do that? It wasn't that he had no friends, all right? Believe me, he had friends. It wasn't that he was bored. It was this: he knew, right, what it was to create a pattern of withdrawing to the secret place, right? He knew what it was. He developed a pattern and a rhythm of removing the noise, right? Removing the noise. And he said, in the midst of busyness, in the midst of chaos and noise, he said, "I am not going to succumb to a culture that says go, go, go and doesn't make any space to lean into God." He said, no, "I'm going to be set apart and I'm going to lean into God no matter how busy I get, no matter how many sick there are to heal, no matter how many people need to be preached to." He said, "I am going to remove the noise." And this morning, that's the title of my message. If you're writing notes, write that down as the title: remove the noise. Because who knows, right? We live in a noisy world, right? Whether it be social media, and you're scrolling through your feed and you see noise on there, whether it's on the news, all sorts of chaos happening, whether it's in your family or work, there's good noise, there's bad noise, but the reality is there's no avoiding noise, right? It's all around us. And so we have to learn how to deal with it. You know, I think, right, that living a noisy life and being super busy has actually become cool, right? If you talk to someone and, you know, you're asking what they went up to this week, what they were up to, and they say, "Oh yeah, I worked 80 hours. Like 80 hours, like I'm cool with my 40. Like I'll stick with my 40. Do you know what I mean? There's people that go, "Yeah, I've worked 80 hours. It's crazy." There's people that go, hashtag team no sleep. Ever heard that one? And I'm like, I'm a science teacher. You know, like, do you know the science behind sleep? I'm like, I'm team sleep. All right. You need to sleep, right? For your brain to operate at its highest capacity, you need 7 to 8 hours of sleep, okay, at least, right? And so it has become cool to be busy. It has become cool to fill your life with noise. But what I have noticed in the Bible and what I've noticed in my life is God actually speaks the loudest in the absence of noise. Yeah, there's something about the still, quiet spaces where God will speak to you, right? And the reality is, here's why. Because God is a relational God. He wants a relationship. And if it happened during the busyness and hustle and bustle, there wouldn't be any need to lean in. But you see, in a moment, we're going to go to Elijah. But what you see is Elijah leans in. And God doesn't come in the earthquake, in the fire, in the wind. He comes in the gentle whisper. Because he wants you to lean in. He wants you to lean in. And so I believe today, right, God is looking for some people who would remove the noise. In a couple of weeks, we have Summit. And I felt God put this on my heart in preparation for Summit. Because if you're not registered or you don't know what Summit is, it's like our church camp, church conference that we have every year. And can I encourage you, if you haven't registered or you haven't, you know, decided to come, can I encourage you to remove the noise and be there? Because I want to encourage you that God's going to speak to you as you do that. It's going to be powerful. But the reality is, I get it, right? You're busy, right? You're busy. You got work. You got a family. You got all sorts of things to do. And, you know, me growing up, I grew up with two sisters, right? Two sisters. And if you grow up with siblings, two sisters or more, how many of you know noise was just normal, right? I couldn't escape the noise no matter how bad I wanted to, but noise was normal. And I remember we used to bicker a lot when we were younger. Not anymore. We're okay now. But when we were younger, we used to bicker a lot. We used to fight a lot. And my older sister, right, she used to have these subwoofer speakers in her bedroom. Like, for what reason? Do you know what? Like, not just a normal UE boom, not just a normal speaker, the subwoofer. You know, the one that in the back of cars that goes boof, boof. Sorry if that was a bit loud. But that speaker was in her room. And when I was in high school, I was the studious type of person, you know. And so I would always study in my room. And every time I would go to study, I would hear this boof, 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 just going crazy while I was studying. It was the worst thing ever. And, you know, I was trying to work out how could I tell my sister to turn it off. But, you know, with siblings, you have to be careful. You can't say it directly and you can't act too desperate. Otherwise, they won't do what you want them to do. So I walk into a room. I'm like, Eunice, you know, her name's Eunice, my older sister. And I go, Eunice, you know, the music is so loud. You know the science behind loud music? It's actually not good for your ears. Do you know? So I would actually encourage you to turn the music down. I don't mind. Like, I'm all good with it. Like, but it's more about you than me. And so I thought that would do the trick, feeling confident, walk back in my room and still no, nothing. She didn't want to turn it down. And so I thought I'd try something else. She went out to the shops and I went in her room. I grabbed the subwoofers and I moved them into another room. Just cause, didn't even ask permission. But I just moved them. She came back and she goes, "Hey Nathan, have you seen my speakers? They seem to be missing from my room." I'm like, "Oh really? I got no idea. I'm not sure what happened to them, but that's weird. Maybe, I don't know, maybe God just made them disappear. I got no clue what happened to your speakers, sorry." But a few moments later, she found them, she brought them back in, and surely I hear the boof, boof, boof. It's nonstop. It keeps going. And so finally, right, I'm so sick of it. She goes out, I walk to the other side of the house, right? I move past every door in the house, go to that complete opposite space, where I'm talking so far, as far as I could, right? Just to get away from the noise, right? And here's what I learned. There's no way, and nothing I could do could turn off the noise, right? Nothing I could do. But the one thing I could choose to do was remove myself from the noise. And that day, I chose to go into a separate room to close doors. And all of a sudden, I encountered some silence and I was able to study for the first time in 3 days. Amen. Right? But can I encourage you, in your life, you cannot just turn off the noise. The noise is constantly going on around you, whether it be the media, whether it be on your social media, whether it be in your family, your work. There's always chaos. There's always things happening. But God is looking for somebody who wouldn't necessarily turn off the noise, but who would remove themselves from the noise, who would say, "It doesn't matter how busy I get, it doesn't matter how noisy I get, but I am going to remove the noise. I'm going to remove the noise." And this morning, I want to speak to you from the story of Elijah. The story of Elijah. And Elijah was this giant in the faith, right? But here's the thing, he nearly lost his life, right? He was known as the miracle man, right? He's the guy who pulled down fire from heaven. He's the guy who saw rain in the middle of a drought. He's the guy who raised a dead boy back to life. He was known as the miracle man. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, we actually see that the miracle man has lost his mojo, so to speak, right? He's lost his fire. And if he's being honest, he's empty, he's exhausted, he's drained, he's got nothing left to give. You know, I think if we're being honest, so many of us, right, have assimilated into this culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, right? And we've taken on more than we can handle, and we haven't stopped to lean into God, and so we've found ourselves empty. We've found ourselves lacking strength. We've found ourselves weary. Maybe you're here today and that's where you find yourself. You find yourself a little bit weary. You're finding yourself a little bit empty. Well, I just pray that as you hear the word today, God would speak to you. I pray that as you hear the word today, God will begin to fill you again. Because what we see is when you remove the noise and you withdraw into the secret place with God, something powerful happens. And that's what I want to share with you today from the story of Elijah. And so we're going to pick it up in 1 Kings chapter 19. And here's what happens in this story, right? You might have heard this story, but Elijah has just pulled down fire from heaven and he's destroyed about 400 of the prophets of Baal, which is another god. And so Jezebel, right, who's kind of like the owner of all these prophets, she is not happy because Elijah's just destroyed 400 of her workers. And so here is what happens. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 1, it says this. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Right? And if you didn't catch that, right, Elijah has just received a death threat, right? Jezebel has basically just said, "I am going to kill you. You've just killed all my prophets, and so now I'm going after you." And you know, Elijah is this giant in the faith. He has seen God come through time and time again. So this is probably not something super crazy for Elijah. But you see, I have a hypothesis, and it's this, that Elijah was so busy and frantic and overloaded that he actually couldn't hear the voice of God. And here's what happened. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. Isn't that crazy? The guy who was doing the miracles, the guy who commanded rain to come down in the middle of the drought, right? The guy who raised a dead boy back to life, the guy who called down fire from heaven, and all of a sudden, he finds himself completely empty. He finds himself exhausted, nothing left to give. And he ends up saying, "Take my life, Lord." That's how exhausted, that's how depressed he was. He was at the lowest of lows of his life. And I want to encourage you, maybe you're there right now, maybe you've been there recently, but can I encourage you, the story doesn't end there. But can I encourage you, what happens is he begins to change. Things begin to shift, and we're going to get there in just a moment. But what I love is this, the story continues, right? And there's a couple things that I want you to note down when you remove the noise in your life. Because the Bible says this, right? He went a day's journey into the wilderness, right? He was scared of Jezebel, so he was just running away. But what he didn't know was he was unintentionally removing the noise. He was running away into the wilderness. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 5, it says, "All at once, an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again." And so he removed the noise. And what happens? He's met, right, by an angel. It continues, "The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So he got up and ate and drank." Listen to this. "Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night," right? And what I want to pull out of this is he found God's strength. And can I tell you, when you remove the noise, here's something that will happen in your life. You will find his strength. you will find his strength. The Bible says that he was strengthened by the food the angel gave him. And the reality is, had he not withdrawn into the wilderness, I don't know if the angel would have met him there. But because he had removed the noise, the angel came and he was strengthened by the food. And you know, in your life, the reality is, we all go through seasons and times of emptiness and exhaustion. And I don't know where you are on that scale right now. But can I just encourage you, if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling weary, it's okay. Because can I encourage you? You're going to find strength in God. Can I encourage you? The Bible says that he increases the strength of the weary. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I don't know about you, but I want to walk and not be faint. I want to run and not grow weary. And so if you're finding yourself a little bit empty, if you're finding yourself a little bit weary, can I encourage you, remove the noise. You're going to find his strength when you remove the noise. When you remove the noise, you're going to find the strength of God. Because I don't know about you, but I can't do it on my own. You know, if I'm going to do what God's called me to do, I need to carry what he's called me to carry. You see, I can't do it without his anointing. I can't do it without his strength. And you know, if I'm being honest, I've found myself in this place right now, to be honest, because I've just moved from a different city. And to be honest, right, they say, don't do these things in the same month, but I've done them, right? I don't know why, but it just happened. I didn't plan it, but this is what we felt God speak, so we did it. But we've moved cities and moved houses, moved church locations, started 2 new jobs, just got married, all in the same month, right? And it's a little bit overwhelming. And at times I'm finding myself a little bit weary, right? But what I'm reminded with is if I can choose to have a practice where I remove the noise, all of a sudden I can find his strength. Come on. Is there anybody who says, I'm going to remove the noise? Come on, I'm going to find his strength. Because I don't know about you, but I can't do it without his help. We got to find his strength. What I love is that he doesn't just find his strength, but the second thing is he encounters his presence. He encounters his presence. And you know, sometimes all we need is a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's an encounter with God that will change things forever. An encounter with God. And so in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 to 13, we're going to pick up here. And at this point, Elijah has traveled so far into the wilderness. He's 40 days and 40 nights into the wilderness. He's in this cave at the moment. And to be honest, I think the cave is symbolic, right, of what he's feeling right now. He wants to hide in the darkness. He wants to live in this shame and in this place that God hasn't called him to live. But the reality is, God meets him there. And in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 to 13, it says this. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then catch this. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. Notice how he didn't come in all the loud, noisy, big things. He didn't appear in those things. The Bible says this, and after the fire came a gentle whisper. A gentle whisper. And you see, God could have came in the fire, in the earthquake, in the wind, but he came in the gentle whisper. And the reason I believe he came in the gentle whisper was to show Elijah that this is how I'm going to communicate with you. I'm going to whisper. Why? Because if you want to hear my voice, guess what? You got to lean in. You got to lean in. And can I encourage you, if you want to encounter his presence, you got to lean in. You got to remove the noise. And so the Bible says that he came in the gentle whisper. And the Bible says in verse 13, when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face, ready, and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave, right? Before that, he was in the cave, right? And for Elijah, I believe, right, and the scholars believe that he was depressed, right? That this was depression. He had this cloud of darkness over him and he was depressed. And for Elijah, he was in the cave of depression. And for you, I don't know what cave you might find yourself in today. Maybe you're out of the cave and it's awesome, but maybe if you're being honest today, you came in this morning, if you found yourself in the cave of depression, maybe you found yourself in the cave of insecurity. Maybe you found yourself in the cave of darkness. I don't know what cave you're in. But what I love is that after an encounter with God, what does it say? He came out and he began to walk out of the cave. And can I encourage you, if you're in a cave today, come on. One encounter with the presence of God is all it takes to bring you out of the cave. And this morning, we're going to create some space. And I want to encourage you, lean in. Because some of you are going to come out of the cave. We're going to come out of the cave. If the keys want to jump up, that would be awesome. But I want to encourage you today. The second thing is, we're going to encounter his presence. When you remove the noise, you're going to find his strength. You're going to encounter his presence. And lastly, here's what we see, right? Elijah heard his voice. He heard his voice. You know, Elijah was lost. He needed direction. He didn't know what to do. He was empty. He was exhausted. He had no idea where he was going. But the Bible says this in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 15. Right after he encounters God and comes out of the cave, it says this, the Lord said to him. And I feel like this was just a blessing to Elijah's ears. The Lord said to him, but he began to speak, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel. And anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel Meholah to succeed you as prophet. I don't know what I just said. There's a whole lot of words there. Meholah. There's a whole lot of words just came out of my mouth. I don't know what I said. But here's what I do know, right, is that God gave Elijah a plan, right? So many of us are looking for the plan and we think that if we keep being busy, if we keep filling our life with noise, it will fix it. Noise won't fix you. It will distract you. What you need is a word from God. And can I encourage something? You're not going to get a word from God unless you remove the noise. You're not going to be able to hear his voice unless you say, I'm going to choose to set apart some time in my life to go, God, I want to hear from you. Come on, is there anybody in the auditorium today who says, I want to hear his voice? Come on, I want to hear his voice. I'm tired of going through life without hearing his direction. I don't know about you, but I need his direction. I need his grace in my life. And so the third thing that we see is that he hears his voice. And what I love about this is that Elijah thought that the story was over. He was like, God, I'm done. Take me. It's over. But what I love is that to God, the story wasn't over. Do you know who came after Elijah? Was the prophet Elisha, right? And you know what Elisha did? He went on to do two times the miracles Elijah did. And can I tell you, what would have happened if Elijah gave up? He wouldn't have got the direction to impart something to the next guy, Elisha. And can I tell you, when you choose to press on, when you choose to not give up, it's not just you, right? But it's the people on the other side of that decision. It's the legacy behind you. And can I encourage some people today? God isn't done with you yet. But God isn't finished with you yet. I want to encourage you today. God wasn't finished with Elijah. He had more for him. And can I encourage you today? I believe the same for you. Some of you are here today, and if you're being honest, you felt like the story is over. You felt like there was nothing more that God had for you in your future. You felt like it's done. And can I encourage you? The story isn't over. Come on, God has more for you. He has more. There is plans and purposes. There's future. There's a blessing that's coming. And can I encourage you? Don't give up on the plans and purposes that God has for your life, because there is more. Come on, can somebody shout, there is more. Come on, there is more. There is more. God has more for you. I want to encourage you, don't give up. God has more.